Greetings, everyone, and welcome to episode DRAWRLM002. And I am known as Craig. As per usual, I'd like to begin with some general housekeeping. First, since this is a RLM-centric series of presentations, I'd like to take a moment to encourage the new listeners to RLM to listen to the radio stream as it is, which can be found on the RLM website front page. It is located on the right-hand side of the Real Liberty Media website, where once you scroll down a bit, one will find the Listen Live on RLM button. When one selects this button, a new browser window will open where the stream will automatically begin to play. I'd also like to include, from my experience of assisting folks with their tech diffs, I've seen firsthand how people can't always recall where they had found a website or other such content online. The remedy to that being to maintain a set of bookmarks and export a backup just in case. You may have to copy-paste that web address to another window in order to do so. Sure, this all takes a little bit of extra work on your part. Of course, one benefit of keeping bookmarks is that by doing so, you'll have preserved the actual link, saving it to your bookmarks folder. If you want to go one step further, you could also add tags and use folders to organize your bookmarks. It certainly makes it that much easier to refer to websites for future reference. A word to the wise. Next, considering these presentations are RLM-centric, I'll take a moment to implore you to consider making a donation to RLM to keep this rather censorship-free platform available moving forward into the future. There is a Donate to Real Liberty Media button found at the top right of the Real Liberty Media website front page. Donations are being legitimately administered by someone who goes by the username SoundMinds. And the only insignificant donation amount made is the one that isn't made at all. To find my very own limited presence on the interwebs, I will direct you all to the address of my link tree, which is https://linktr.ee/capital A R T_OF_capital C R A I G_S. With these preliminary set of presentations, I'm making a concerted effort to set the tone. I'm not a rightist or a leftist. I make an effort to avoid all these is and isms whenever I can. Apologetically, I am compelled to use some of my own personal experience as a launching point for discussion. I certainly don't mean to impose myself on anyone, to be clear. In making these presentations, I can only make assumptions as to whom my audience is. I imagine it's most likely comprises of the consistent Real Liberty Media listenership, new listeners to RLM, as well as agents of the state, or rather, the shadows that ban from within the digital panopticon. As I had mentioned in the first broadcast, a constant refrain in the scriptures is to have no fear. And I'll include just one out of many such Bible verses that address that very topic. The following is from the book of Acts, chapter 18, verses 9 and 10. But first, some background. The scene here is that Paul is being encouraged by Christ Jesus by way of a vision that Paul had had at night whilst musing about his own work and circumstances. And on a brief side note, in the following verses, the word Lord is referring to Christ Jesus and none other. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. In making these presentations, my goal is multifaceted. And I can summarize it all up by saying, ultimately, I'm trying to be useful. In good faith, not in bad faith. Which is a perfect segue into the topic I want to address. Which also dovetails nicely from the first episode. Specifically, what I'm referring to here is a means unto which to be able to study the scriptures. One of a few techniques I've been using for some time now. Some caveats first, though. I'm not saying that this is the definitive strategy to unlock the wisdom contained in the Bible. However, much like I mentioned in DRAW RLM 001, I have found that some folks seem to have no idea as to where to begin. Even I myself had to learn that the Bible is not a book one can just pick up and read, like one might with a work of fiction. You can, to be sure, but there is much more to it, in my opinion. However, like as I was saying, for the beginner, one might find it difficult in doing so in such a direct manner like that. When I had done so, it certainly did frustrate me. Developing one's own relation to the scriptures, specifically with Christ Jesus, is a very subjective task. As an aside, I may have misrepresented myself in the past when I had said something to the effect that this book is a book that just won't leave me alone. I didn't mean that I wanted it to leave me alone. I meant that this mysterious book kept coming back to me again and again in my life. So I'll go out on a limb here and state that I did come from a quote Christian unquote background, so-called. Not that I'm too warm and fuzzy with that word Christian. I'm still getting the hang of using a Strong's Concordance, but one of the few times that I had, I was to research where and how many times that particular word had appeared. And I was to discover that that particular word, Christian, is only used 3 times in the Bible. And when I had read the verses just above and below these 3 appearances of this word, it was plain to see that it was primarily used by the Romans and in a derogatory way. In my opinion, society in general really should refrain from using that word Christian, or rather cease to refer to themselves as such, replacing it perhaps with a more accurate description, such as being a follower or a slave to Christ Jesus. And on a side note, not that I am claiming to be some perfect follower or some know-it-all either. All the credit goes to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There really is no one who is some perfect follower. Some may carry the air of being so, that is to say, the prestige of it. However, we all carry some negativity with us. We all have our cross to bear, so to speak. The truly innocent do not walk this earth. And when it comes to the use of words, I'm adamant about these sorts of details. You could say I'm a celery-munching stickler about it, because I think we, as a society, have a duty to ourselves and to each other to express ourselves as clearly and as accurately as we can, to root out misconceptions, to root out such errors, to root out lies, and to root out the deceivers as well while we're at it. There was a time where I had quite rejected the scriptures, and I think in some ways I have since paid a heavy price for doing so, because I have found that there's a great deal of wisdom contained within the Bible, and naturally it is a lifelong process to go through it. It's limitless in that way. And I don't mean here to just study it, close the book and be on one's way, done. It wouldn't hurt to make an effort to apply this wisdom as well. The phrase knowledge is power is yet another word magic deception. A more accurate version of that phrase would be knowledge applied is power. There's a lot to discover in the scriptures, and praying consistently while doing so is also a most advantageous practice, I would say. Why is that so? Because the Holy Spirit will assist you in your journey, assist you in filling in the gaps, so to speak. Look, everyone has to start somewhere. So with this presentation, I've compiled for you my streetwise scriptural study guide. I'm using the term streetwise because after all my efforts to study such topics as history, philosophy, and spirituality, let alone expressive mark making, visual art, I now purposely try to take a practical, reasonable, streetwise point of view when it comes to the Bible. And for the naysayers to what I have just put forth there, who would criticize the more extraordinary stories in the Bible, that they couldn't have possibly have happened, I'd say to them that some of those more fantastical stories are usually a mnemonic device, that is to say a memorization technique, or are meant to be allegorical to teach some lesson. Or, yes, there are some passages that are indeed outright fantastical, because that is an aspect to this reality we are all experiencing together. For those with eyes to see and ears to hear, I suppose. I also think and feel and believe that this study guide is a timely resource for these times of tribulation. For those of you out there who have either never studied or were thinking of delving deeper into this book, I'll also suggest that don't waste any more time on entertainment. Now is the time. Now is the time to take an interest in studying the Word of the Most High, to fortify your mind. Now is the time to intermittently fast, to fortify your body. And now is the time to start the practice of praying as Christ Jesus instructed, which begins, incidentally speaking, in the book of Matthew, in chapter 6, verse 9, to fortify your spirit, to fortify your soul. Once again, to you out there who have just been pondering or gandering concerning all of this, the time is now. In my experience, I did at first have an uneasy feeling when I applied myself to understanding the message contained therein. Much to my dismay, many I know certainly don't study, and I personally don't regret having taken this road less traveled in these unprincipled times. From 2 Timothy book 1, verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." So, with that, let's get into it. Once again, a short caveat here, this is all very subjective. I'm going to share with you all some of my experience, which most certainly is going to differ from that of yours, considering how the knowledge of the scriptures may or may not have an effect on you, as well as specifically concerning which parts of the Bible to study. I had attempted at one point to just start at the first book and chapter of the Bible, that being Genesis, to read this book from beginning to end. At least that was my intent. But that didn't work out for me at that time. Another method I've employed is to join a Bible study group. Although finding other like-minded people to discuss this with can be quite a challenge. And much like I said in DRAW RLM 001, the only such congregation I could ever support would be that of like a home-based type congregation. Just like-minded folks with a similar interest. Why do I say that? Because, let's face it, at least from my perspective and my experience, all these incorporated churches, so-called, have been infiltrated and corrupted. The least evidence to that being that most, if not all, have pushed that COVID-19 so-called poison upon their respective flocks. Generally speaking, I think we shouldn't solely study the Bible on our own. But if that has to be the case, then it has to be the case. Slowly yet surely has been my approach to studying this book, au fur et à mesure, as the French might say. Some of you out there may have noticed that in popular media, such as in films and music lyrics, on television, and in published works of fiction, that there will be references to a verse from the Bible. And I mention that because at this point, I'm looking for departure points to delve further into the wisdom of the Bible. So in popular media, you know, when these verses do appear, I don't think this is an accident. I think these verses were purposely put there by the creators or producers of the content, like an antidote to whatever subversive message the content itself is carrying. Because let's face it, most of this stuff is quite subversive. That could all be a topic for another presentation altogether, perhaps. In any event, when I did notice these appearances of Bible verses happening, I have used that as a departure point for study. In fact, that has been a strategy in general, is whenever a verse comes across my path, whatever the Holy Spirit has brought to my attention. But I've also found verses from the Bible come my way in even more peculiar circumstances, which is what I'm going to use today as a launching point for this tutorial, for lack of a better word, this study guide. So I was taking a casual walk, and I was passing by some people having a conversation. And I just so happened to overhear one of them say, "The Lord gives one and takes away another one." Now, I haven't a clue as to what they were actually talking about. I only heard this phrase mentioned as I walked by. It certainly had caught my attention. I made a note of it in my mind because a phrase like that, it had a ring to it that it might have come from the scriptures. So when I returned to the studio, I typed the phrase out and used a search engine to find out from where, if at all, it may have appeared in the Bible. Now, at this point, I didn't even know what, if any, significance this would have for me. It doesn't really matter, though, because as far as the topic of this presentation goes, the rubber is going to meet the road, metaphorically speaking, because I was about to find out that there is a similar phrase or verse from the Bible that this person had slightly misquoted. And I say that because in my initial web search, there were a few results that this phrase that I had overheard may have been referring to. The closest one I found was from the book of Job, specifically Job chapter 1, verse 21. Now, at this point, having the specific launching point now to delve further, I would usually refer to a small yet ever-expanding cache of books that I have been using, such as an authorized King James Bible, a 1611 King James Version, a Gideon's Bible, an unabridged Strong's Concordance, an unabridged Black's Law Dictionary. I have a sixth edition, as well as a first edition. The first edition is on a CD, but be that as it may. Also, I'll use a complete 1928 Noah Webster's Dictionary. And last but not least, an unabridged version of Matthew Henry's commentary on the whole Bible. Now, I realize that there will be those of you out there who may or may not have some of these books. But I have an upcoming remedy to that, so hang in there. Or who may be wondering what I may be using these books for. Well, for one, the different versions of the Bible are there to cross-reference a particular passage, such as in this case, Job 1:21. The dictionaries are for when I come across words that I might not be familiar with. I find that the older dictionaries are more thorough than the newer editions. The legal dictionary is for words that I find in the scriptures that seem to me to resemble or parallel legal terms, which once again may or may not broaden the significance of the verse in question. In this case, Job 1:21. Last but not least, there are a few good commentaries out there, as they are called. However, in my experience thus far, what Matthew Henry composed is truly a compelling resource to further unlock the wisdom of the scriptures with. A few anecdotes I want to add here about Matthew Henry's commentary. First, you still might be able to find this book secondhand online, the unabridged version. It is quite a thick book. It may set you back a few $100, but it's worth its weight in gold, as the saying goes. Second, by recommending it, I am not endorsing any particular, you know, so-called Christian philosophy such as Anglicanism or Protestantism. Lastly, I want to include here from the Wikipedia entry concerning Matthew Henry's commentary, quote, Henry's commentaries are primarily theological, dealing with the scripture text as presented, and with his prime intention being explanation for practical and devotional purposes, giving a theological commentary on each chapter of scripture. And boy, does he do that. I mean, he does it with that spiritual aspect in mind. And as it said there in the Wikipedia entry, dealing with the scripture text as presented, just really clarified a lot of questions I had. Anyway, all those books that I just listed for you are the actual print editions, which is a good thing to have available because, as many of you already know or suspect, anything digital can be easily manipulated. I mean, how would one know if some text online was accurate or not if one didn't have a print edition to verify that with? So I definitely prefer to use the print editions with all that being said. And I'm not deterred by the very small print. And I would suggest for those of you that might be to have a magnifying glass handy. It seems to me, in my own experience, not to parrot anyone, something somebody else may have said, but you'll find some of the greatest wisdom, the greatest knowledge, the most useful information in big, thick books with tiny little print. So as I was saying, fret not if you don't have any of these books available to you yet. There is an invaluable resource online, which I'm going to use here to further look into our case study, that being Job 1:21. You can even follow along if you like. Begin by opening up a web browser if you have a computer handy, preferably a desktop or laptop computer, and go to the website address of blueletterbible.org. That's all those words together, blueletterbible.org. Now, since we already have our focus in mind, that being Job 1:21, and preferably you have desktop mode enabled on your smartphones or tablets, if that is what you are using, once you reach the website, you'll notice a few things. You will notice on the right-hand side that there is a large search box entitled, quote, Search the Bible, unquote. And within that, at first you should see a text entry field entitled, quote, Verse, Word, or Words, or Topic, unquote. And below that, you should see a drop-down menu with KJV already preloaded. The KJV stands for King James Version, And there are other versions to choose from in this drop-down menu. Let's roll with the KJV for the time being. I already explained in DRAW-RLM-001 why I prefer this particular version of the Bible. Some people don't like the Old English, King's English, flowery version of English. Personally, I think it's great. It's like exercise for your mind to be able to interpret all that and work your way through it. But some people don't like that. There's always the New American Standard Bible, I think was the other one that I recommended that I've come across. I got to pick that one up myself. I want to see for myself what that's like. But anyways, I'm getting distracted here. So getting back to Blue Letter Bible. So next I had entered Job 1:21 into the text search field and selected the green magnifying glass icon to initiate the search. And to be clear, no, I am not affiliated with Blue Letter Bible. I'm bringing this resource to your attention because I have found it to be most helpful. And you'll see why in a few moments. So, lo and behold, we are taken to the page where the verse appears. And I find it advantageous to read the verse above and below to add some context to the verse that I'm focusing upon. If I haven't mentioned this already, I actually do this for dictionary definitions as well, as at times that also may prove useful in that context, depending. So I will read Job 1:20-21 for you. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So at this point, the rubber has not only met the road, but we are approaching full speed here, folks. Because you will notice that on the website, a few things. A, the actual text, Job 1:21, on the website is not only a placeholder for the verse, but it's a hyperlink as well. And if you move your cursor over it and select it, it will open a drop-down menu that will reveal a suite of options to delve further into this particular verse, chapter, and book of the Bible. You'll also notice B, right next to the text, Job 1:21, there's also a blue box which contains the word tools, which, if you select that, will also open up the same suite of options for further study. Now, take note here as well that all this information from either option is color-coded. For the moment, it is the green tab marked Commentaries I want to draw your attention to. When you select the green tab, another suite of information is revealed there. All kinds of material. However, on the left-hand side, once you've selected the green tab marked Commentaries, if you scroll down a ways, there is the option under the section titled Text Commentaries for none other than Matthew Henry's commentary. As well, take note that for this particular verse, chapter, book of the Bible, there's quite a great deal of information there. And for our purposes, though, you'll notice in the list that there is an option for Job 1. Hopefully you're in the same place I'm at this point, which is precisely where we will find further elucidation for all this chapter and book and verse from the book of Job. So at this point, I myself would read all of what is presented here under an exposition with practical observations of the book of Job, as you'll see there. And I would reflect upon all of this as I read, as to what or how this information may be of interest or of use for me and my life, or possibly someone else's life, or what have you. And any sort of aha moments might not come to me right away either. But that's what I would be doing at this point. I'd be going through all that information there, which you see on the screen. Possibly even verifying it with my print edition right here in front of me. In any event, utilizing those other books that I had mentioned, such as the dictionaries, might put those in there as well, might use those as well. Yes, all of this is going to take some time, effort, and work on anyone's part to achieve this, and it's your free will choice to do so, or not. So, in Matthew Henry's commentary concerning Job chapter 1, verse 21, I'll read to you what he specifically has to say about it. Quote, "One, he blesses God for what was given, though now it was taken away. When our comforts are removed from us, we must thank God that ever we had them and had them so much longer than we deserved. Nay, two, he adores God even in taking away and gives him honor by a willing submission. Nay, he gives him thanks for good designed him by his afflictions, for gracious supports under his afflictions, and the believing hopes he had of a happy issue at last." Unquote. So, to put all this in context of the entirety of the book of Job, this is where Satan challenged God to test Job's unrelenting faith by practically destroying him, to which Job was steadfast in his trust towards the Most High in spite of all that Satan had did to him. And we've reached the end of our brief tutorial. I'd like to close this episode with a skill testing question for all of you. The correct response to my question is a simple one-word answer, an adjective. And I'll approach this question from a few angles here so that you can better surmise what the correct response might be. What is the chief characteristic of, say, a piece of visual art, or the architecture of a building, or the industrial design of a product, perhaps a style of clothing, that makes it a classic? Put another way, what is the peculiar quality about the Bible that makes it the most read, most printed, most purchased, most stolen book in the world? You'll find the answer to my question from a keyword to the chorus of a special tune I'll add at the end of this presentation. The chorus being one of my personal goals. Of course, I claim no copyright to this tune naturally. Its inclusion here is for educative purposes only. I hope what I had brought to your attention today prompts you to do your own due diligence. And having said that, I'll leave it to you to draw your own conclusions.